Hello, and welcome to an all-new episode of Talking Foosball, the Aufstieg edition. Today, we will be focusing on idiots, both in the Bundesliga 2 and the lower divisions. My name is Nick Wiltagen, and joining me to sort through the stupid is none other than ground-hopping expert and lower league ref, Mike Krückemeyer. Well, Mike, how are you doing over there in the Hansestadt of Hamburg?
Yeah, first of all, I'm so happy that after you said we were focusing on idiots and your next sentence started with both, that you didn't finalize it with both of us. But yeah, apart from that, I'm fine and still top of the league. So how are you?
You know, I'm football-wise slightly downtrodden. Sparta is not in a really great shape of late, but other than that, cannot complain too much. Well, we'll not be focusing on Werder in this podcast, I can tell you that. So let me just tell you what we have in offer for you. In part one, we'll give you all the latest from the Bundesliga 2, and we'll tell you why following your friends blindly might be a really stupid idea. And in part two, we'll be featuring a bit of ground-hopping news for the first time in a while, and that bit of news is also a little bit idiotic. So all of that is to come. Right, we promised you stupid. Let's give you some stupid shit. And Mike, you alerted us to this story, and it plays out in Nuremberg. So Nuremberg, a very cultivated city, very lovely place with, like, you know, an old town, which is just breathtaking in its beauty. But what the Nuremberg fans did on the weekend wasn't really all that beautiful, was it?
Yeah, well, you can say football fans in general are idiots, because when they steal a banner from another group, the group is being forced to split up, delete itself, whatever. At least some people think that's the way it should be. And yeah, you can act like that. And if it's kind of the ultra code and the groups all follow that rule, let's say, then I'm fine with that. So it's their decision. But of course, you can't expect other groups to act like that if they don't follow that ultra code. And what happened on the weekend was especially something really strange, because Nuremberg, well, first of all, they lost against St. Pauli, as many other teams did in this season as well. But in the second half, they presented some, well, you can't say St. Pauli fan club banners, but the most popular one that they presented was the Passanten banner. I, myself, was part of the Passanten back in the beginning of the year 2001 until 2005, I think. And 2005 was the year when the group decided, okay, we've done enough, we'll stop doing ultra things, even if we have not been called ultras at that moment. And this particular banner was stolen from some Rapid Vienna ultras in 2002 in a test game in a training camp in the summer, where three people of us were there in that time. And well, they just gave it away more or less. There was no fight about it or whatever. And since 2002, this banner has been vanished. And we were always wondering what happened to that banner. And well, it seems that it was hidden in a basement in Vienna for some years. They treated it really well. It looked beautiful yesterday. It really clean, and like they ironed it every 2 weeks. I don't know. So now finally we know what happened to that. And apart from that, or beside that, they also presented some other banners. I'm not sure if all of them was stolen by Rapid or some of that was also stolen by Nuremberg Ultras, but it was really nothing special. There was no big group involved. So if you follow St. Pauli games, you might know that Henning banner. He also from time to time goes to national games, so that banner is quite popular, but it's still a single person. And I think it's not Yeah, something with a huge honor won in a fight of thousand against thousands. So it's just some, idiotic thing that they think might have been funny from their point of view. But in the away sector yesterday, more people were laughing about that. And I think this says more about Nuremberg than it says about us.
I mean, one thing that struck me is the fact that Rapid Vienna and their fans and their players are in a bit of hot water in Austria right about now, because Guido Burgstaller, former St. Pauli player, Marco Grill, future Werder Bremen player, and a few other of their players were caught singing songs with some of the Rapid Vienna fans after the derby win against Austria Vienna, which is, you know, understandable. What was understandable was the content of the lyrics of those songs.
Yeah, it was homophobic songs, and I think it's, in their point of view, and I don't mean the player, I mean the fans, it's still normal behavior to sing songs like that. And if you would ask them, they would say, no, that's not homophobic, this is just a rivalry. And they don't understand that you could be rivals, and singing songs against your rival, which has no racist or homophobic or whatever discriminating context. And yeah, from their point of view, that's just normal behavior. And they draw their players in that. They now are banned for, depending on player, 2 or 3 games or something like that. And so they did a huge damage to their own club. And maybe this verdict from the Austrian Federation might change things in the near future, which, of course, would be a good thing. And Ralf Rangnick, the national coach of Austria, also stated that he won't invite these players for the next 2 national games.
Which is, in the case of Guido Burgstaller, I mean, he's nearing the end of his career. It's probably his last chance to be present at a big tournament. He isn't a regular starter for Austria. This would have been his chance to, you know, show Rangnick what he's good for in matches. So this might potentially spell the end of his national team career. And, well, as I always say, leave it to the Austrians to show leadership in terms of liberal progress. It's what they're best at.
Sorry.
Indeed. I mean, why I sort of got into that sidetrack was the fact that I was actually really wondering, why didn't the Nuremberg fans comment on that? I mean, it's a fan friendship, but you can be critical of your friends, right?
Yeah, you can, of course.
But they're not. Anyways, let's look at where all the excitement is going to be over the next few weeks in the Bundesliga 2. And, well, I think the most exciting stuff that's going on at the moment is between places 17 and 14, where we have Schalke, 30 points, Kaiserslautern, 28 points, and then Hansa Rostock and Eintracht Braunschweig are both on 27 points, and Osnabrück, after a couple of really dreadful defeats against Kaiserslautern and Fortuna Düsseldorf, pretty much out of it, 9 points behind. I think that relegation is pretty much done and dusted now, even though they sort of gave us glimpses of hope a few weeks back when they actually had a couple of wins in a row and a draw before that. But yeah, so last weekend, Hansa Rostock won, Braunschweig won, Kaiserslautern managed to get a draw against Hannover 96, and Schalke lost 5-2 against Hertha.
Yeah.
So where is this battle against relegation heading? I mean, every time we talk about it, and we talk about it like every 2 weeks at this stage, every time there's another informed team at the bottom end out of those 4 sides I've just mentioned.
Yeah, and you really wonder what has happened at Schalke since the beginning of the season, because I remember the first game they played at HSV, and it was a really, really wild game with no defense at all on both sides. And you always thought, yeah, okay, well, they need to find their way. They need to find their way in this league, and somehow they will manage to build up a defense, and then everything will work out fine. Well, 25 match days later, still no defense, maybe worse than ever. Yeah, and especially after this quite impressive home win against St. Pauli, of course, I thought, okay, now everything will be at least fine for them so that they don't get into a relegation battle. But, well, it's just 2 points, and this 5-2 loss at Berlin was quite devastating, especially for 20,000 away supporters. And the really, really big problem for Schalke is, of course, if they go down, probably they won't go down in the third league. They will probably go directly to the fourth league because financially they will not be able to get a license for League 3.
And but why is that? Because right now they're just writing in the press that they made their first profit in since 2018. They've 7 million euros last year.
Yeah, but this was the first league season.
Half of it, yes, but it's for the year 2023, which means that the other half is in the Bundesliga too. But why is Schalke, why are they going down? Why are the finances that bad? And if they can be in the Bundesliga and the Bundesliga too, why can't they be in the Dritte Liga?
Well, you need to apply for a license, and this license for League 3 will not be granted. At least that's what some experts say at the moment. And I think Schalke has still... yeah, well, the board and all these things around it on Champions League level, more or less, or at least on Bundesliga level. And you can't bring up the money for that in League 2 and definitely not in League 3. There will be no or not that much TV money. And they do have still all those costs, but they don't have the income. And of course, the stadium will be packed, or at least most of the games it will be packed. But the most important thing in football business at the moment is TV money, and you don't have that in League 3. So they will file for bankruptcy, and then you automatically go down to League 4.
Well, there you go. So really, really critical, and I'm still wondering if Hoopstein is going to make a comeback at some stage. As, you know, Gerrit is, you know, seen quite critically by the press and according to the press by the players as well. So that's the exciting one to follow. But, you know, Hansa Rostock, we thought that they were going to go down. They suddenly won 2 on the bounce after we said that. Braunschweig, we thought like a week ago, well, look at them. They lost to Rostock. Now the shit is going to hit the fan. No, they bounce straight back and win the following week. Kaiserslautern. Now they've won against Rostock and all that, and they've managed to get a draw against Hanover, but still only 1 point away, and now Ragnar Ache, their most important goal scorer, is out with an injury.
Yeah.
Boy, this is really, really, really a wide open race to the bottom, pretty much.
Yeah, and if you take a look at the next match day, Rostock away in Kiel, Kaiserslautern home against Düsseldorf, so a loss for both of them is at least possible. Braunschweig with probably the easiest game of all, with a home game against Elversberg. Won't say it's easy, but it looks easier than the others. And Schalke plays at home against Karlsruhe, and Karlsruhe just smashed Magdeburg with a 7-0. So
yeah, I was sort of like put on a goal alert on my mobile phone because actually had placed a bet on that game over 2.5 goals. Boy, that one went in quickly. Oh. I mean, they led 5-0 by the halftime break, right?
Yeah. No. It was, I think it was 4-0, but then they made 5 and 6 within 2 minutes after the break or something like that. Even Marcel Beifuß scored. So he was a defender at St. Pauli.
You know, I sort of really, really thought that this was going to be a very close affair. I was sort of like thinking that both of these teams we've mentioned as sort of being form sides of late, thinking that, well, right, Karlsruhe have shown themselves to be in brilliant form. They really demolished Greuther Fürth. They got a great away win against HSV of late. But 7-0? It's a new club record for them, by the way, in this division. Highest win ever in Bundesliga 2 for Karlsruhe SC. But how can a team like Magdeburg have such an off day?
I don't know. And if you take a look at this match day in particular, Magdeburg lost 7-0 and Schalke lost 5-2 at Berlin, like we said. And these are the two teams that beat St. Pauli in the last couple of weeks and the only two teams that beat St. Pauli in the whole season. So it always comes back to that point that we do say at the beginning of nearly each episode, you can't predict the Zweite Bundesliga. It's just weird.
Yeah, I mean, if you gamble on it, you probably don't play home, away, or draw. You know, you gamble for something else.
Yeah. And if you take a look at the next match day, it might be really, really, really interesting. So I mentioned Rostock might lose at Kiel. Düsseldorf might win in Kaiserslautern. Braunschweig might win against Elversberg. And then we have Schalke losing against Karlsruhe and maybe Magdeburg losing against Hanover. So we will have Magdeburg 31, maybe Wiesbaden. Okay, they can go up because they play Osnabrück at home. But then Schalke 30, Kaiserslautern 29, Rostock 28, Braunschweig also 30. So all of these, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 clubs within the range of 2 points. And that will definitely be a thriller in the last remaining match days.
Yeah, and then there's the question of what HSV are going to do. I mean, they are in third right now. They are, by the way, playing against Greuther Fürth, who are really in a dreadful form right about now. HSV got a win, 3-0 win against VNV Spawn, so that calmed the mind of the Hamburg press a little bit. But if you read on fan Twitter, and if you read between the lines in the press in Hamburg, they want some blood to be shed after the season if this is not going to work out for them. And the name that is mentioned now is not their new fancy coach who just comes with like a lot of Bundesliga pedigree and all that. And who's, you know, who comes with some credit in the bank because, you know, he has a bit of a success story. I mean, he's the guy who took Paderborn from the Dritte Liga to the Bundesliga. He's the guy who stabilized Köln for some time in the Bundesliga, which is a difficult task. So he comes with a lot of credit in the bank, and he's probably going to get a summer transfer window to, you know, change the team to what he wants.
Hmm.
Shape is in his image before he gets fired on Match Day 4. But the name that is dropped between the lines in articles, fan forums, and all that is Jonas Bolt. Jonas Bolt is the guy who has pulled off the best magic trick of all times. I just read, I think it was on Facebook. The Hamburg fans goes on writing, he has made the world believe that they were calmly, goal-oriented, and well at HSV for the last 5 years. But look at the results. It's all a load of crap. Man has a point.
Well, yeah. Sure, yes. yeah, if you take a look at the squad of HSV in the last couple of years, I would, as a neutral person, I would have predicted every single year that they need to go back up.
That's what we've done for 5 years.
Yeah. And every single year, they did not make it. And in the end, of course, every single year, you need to blame the players. You might blame the coach as well, for some years at least. Yeah, but Jonas Bolt is the guy who was in charge all of the time. And if in the end, if the players and the coaches didn't make it, well, then it might be his fault as well. On the other hand, every single other club in that league always gave it all against HSV because they were the big club in that league every single year. And it was for them always quite difficult to get the promotion place. But yeah, in the end, they had that quality and also that money that, even though it might have been a little bit more difficult for them, they should have made it in the end, and they didn't make it. So in the end, it's Jonas Bolt who needs to take the consequences. And I think the only thing that can save him is that they get promoted. Otherwise, I don't see a long future in this city for him.
Neither do I. And, you know, I have to say where he really sort of lost me is the fact that during the winter break, they had this, you know, let's sit down with Tim Walter, let's hear his vision, let's see where we're at, and, you know, let's make a decision one or the other way, for or against Tim Walter and the board. And Jonas Bolt came out saying, well, we believe in you, Tim Walter, you should be in charge of our team. 4 weeks in, transfer window's closed, yeah, let's sack Tim Walter.
And bring in another coach with a total different philosophy. Yep.
So you could have given Stefan Baumgart one transfer window, made a couple of moves that would have made sense for him. Noah Katterbach wouldn't have been amongst the moves that Stefan Baumgart would have forced, I'm sure. And yeah, you would have had a completely different situation. You would have had a team that would have been coached by Stefan Baumgart, heard about his philosophy for a few weeks, instead of a coach who's totally frustrated by players who basically don't know how to play defense.
Yeah, but they won against Wien Wiesbaden now, so everything will be fine.
Düsseldorf breathing down their necks. It's just 1 point between them and HSV, so this is probably going to be one of the most exciting races for the rest of the season as well. And talking about your team, you mentioned at the top of the show, St. Pauli, 10 points clear of promotion playoff spot, 11 points clear of fourth. Right, that's the Bundesliga. Here we come. Right?
Nah, of course I won't say that. So if you watched the game against Hertha last weekend and in Nuremberg this weekend, they both were really impressive because you never had the feeling that any of these teams has a chance to score a goal against us. And especially for a away game in Nuremberg, it was, well, I think in the end it was an XG rate of 1.9 to 0.0. So as a Nuremberg fan, I wouldn't have presented those banners in the second half. I would have been too ashamed of my own team. So yeah, it is. It was quite impressive, but still 8 games to go. And yeah, you need to win. Well, I would say 4 should be fine. But of course,
mathematically speaking, 5. But that would sort of assuming that Hamburg would win everything.
Yeah, but if they win against us, for example, on match day 32, then it's 1 win less. Okay. Of course, the big dream, of course, is to get promoted on this just mentioned match day 32 in the Volkspark. So let's see.
Well, if you keep the distance as it is right now, you would be promoted before then.
Yeah, that's a problem, I know. But the match day 31 is at home against Rostock, which of course would also be a very nice one to do that.
It's a suitable substitute, sure. I'm sure. Well, now that we've sort of discussed a little bit about Mike's sort of first world problems, let's take a little break and we'll be right back with all the lower leagues news that you need to hear about. Welcome back. It's time to dive straight into the lower leagues. And, well, we talked a little bit about the race against relegation in the Bundesliga 2 and the battle for promotion there as well. And the race for promotion in the Bundesliga 2 is not as exciting as it is in the Dritte Liga. Mike, what's going on there?
Yeah, every single week, all those places, well, it seems like, well, I wouldn't say no one wants to go up, but at least the two teams that really were sure to go up in winter break are now shaking and are not that confident that they will make it. And two teams who played in the Regionalliga last year are now on their way to getting promoted if everything continues as it is. But of course, if we do know something in League 2 and 3 in German football at the moment, nothing will go as planned. So there will be also a very, very exciting race in the end. So at the moment, we do have Ulm and Dresden at the top. They managed to play a goalless draw on the weekend, with Dresden being down to 10 men at halftime. And after them, there's Jahn Regensburg, who looked like the very, very, very sure champion in the end of the season in winter break. But on the weekend, they even lost at VfB Lübeck. So I wasn't even aware that they are able to do that.
Well, Lübeck just fired their coach. So, you know, new coach bans and all that.
Yeah, okay. But I'm not sure if we said it last episode that Lübeck is now the team who definitely will have no chance to stay in the league. But, well, if that's the case, then, of course, you do win against a team from table position one in that league. So yes, and then behind them on place 4 is Preußen Münster. They won at 1860 Munich, and maybe even Sandhausen and Essen on 5 and 6 still has a small chance at least. But it will be definitely a tough race between these first 4 teams within point range of 3. And 8 match days to go. And we do have a similar situation also at the bottom of the table. So with Arminia Bielefeld being back in the race. So it is definitely fun to watch.
It is fun to watch. I mean, we call the Bundesliga too unpredictable. The Dritte Liga, if anything, is even more unpredictable. I mean, some of the results do not make any sense. I mean, the other day we talked about Duisburg looking like they're out of it, and suddenly they go on winning against Dortmund 2, a team which was in 5th or 6th place at the time. You know, it doesn't make any sense. Really doesn't make any sense. You know, I mean, it's basically a very evenly matched league. That's what it is. I mean, Duisburg on a good day can pretty much beat everybody, but on a bad day, they can really stink up the place.
Yeah.
It's all about going on that magical run towards the end of the season.
Yeah, and then we haven't discussed the cup wonder of Saarbrücken from last week. And they lost in Duisburg now, so on the weekend.
Yes, but I mean, Saarbrücken, to put it into context, has won against more Bundesliga sides than Darmstadt this season.
And Mainz. Oh, Mainz equalized it on the weekend, right?
They did, but yes, I mean, Saarbrücken has won against Bayern, against Frankfurt, and now they won against Gladbach as well. Which means that they've won against 3 Bundesliga sides. Now they're playing against Kaiserslautern in the semi-final of the cup. Kaiserslautern, which is a side which probably will have enough on their minds considering that they're fighting relegation. Wow. Saarbrücken at home once again on this muddy and wet pitch of theirs. Where might that be heading?
Yep. Fun to watch as well.
Yep. Definitely a story to follow, but yeah, the fact that they beat Gladbach in midweek and suddenly they lose against Duisburg doesn't make any sense, does it?
Yeah, well, that's the way it is in League 2 and 3.
And, you know, I think Kai Brückner even has more goals scored than any Darmstadt player.
Especially in extra time, yeah, or injury time.
Injury time goals. Don't think any Darmstadt player has as many as Kai Brückner this season. Against Bundesliga sides. Anyways, from something fun to something idiotic, or just pure mad, really. But you as a lower league referee must have read this and thought, wow, we're really moving into the wrong direction here when it comes to these things. And this is about what the Bremen FA did the other weekend. So what did they do and why?
Yeah, well, let me start with what. So they stopped the whole match day. So all matches below Regionalliga were postponed, or they set it. They announced it on Thursday or Friday. So not this weekend, the weekend before, that all youth and also adult games are suspended and will not take place because of, I think it was 2 or 3 incidents that took place in the weekend before. One of them was over 32 match, which was interrupted because of violence against, I think this one was among the players, but there was also another one where the referee was attacked. And then there was a youth game where some parents went on the pitch and hit each other. So the 3 incidents, you read about that every single weekend in Germany somewhere, but there were 3 incidents in that cozy town of Bremen on one weekend, which caused the FA to, suspend the whole match day. And so I think they just wanted to make a big statement, and definitely they did. So there's no place for violence in football, or at least there should not be any place. And of course, especially against referees and especially from the visitors and the parents, of course.
Well, you as a referee, do you always feel safe when stepping onto the pitch? I mean, you are refereeing in the neighboring Bundesland of Bremen, basically.
Well, yes, yeah. I think it's... I have never been in such a situation, and I do referee now for, I think, 7 years. But of course, it's a difference if you do that being 1.93 meters, 40-something years old, 90-something kilograms, or if you do that as a 14, 15-year-old boy or girl, where you just naturally might have a totally different way how to handle things and to deal with people that are yelling at you. And yeah, well, maybe I also do have that luck to do whistle in Schleswig-Holstein, which might be a calmer Bundesland somehow, and it might be more challenging in Hamburg or Bremen. But in the end, of course, every single incident like this is one incident too much. And we do read about that every single week and somewhere in Germany. And therefore, I think, yeah, it's just a change in the society in general. So violence is not an exclusive part in football. But of course, it should be no part of violence in sport. And yeah, if you face as a FA that in your region there are too many incidents, you need to, yeah, to at least to try to stop that. And bringing this to the audience, to the public, and making such a big, strong statement, of course, I'm not sure if it helps, but at least it's something that they try to do.
Very well. I mean, just one thing that struck me. I mean, on last weekend, I participated with colleagues in a dodgeball tournament. And, you know, some arguments got to the point where there was a little bit of shoving back and forth. Between, you know, grown people.
Dodgeball.
Grown people playing dodgeball. Grown people meaning people over the age of 40. Well into their 40s. Starting to shove each other. Because, you know, there was a disagreement about a foot being over the line or not. It just goes to show that, you know, when some people are just idiots. When they're put into a sporting situation and they can't control and handle their feelings. And they should get help. Anyways, talking about more idiots, there were some idiot groundhoppers the other day. What happened there?
To be honest, I really don't understand it. so I can only tell it like I heard it. And well, there was a game of Fortuna Köln against the second team of Fortuna Düsseldorf on the weekend in the Regionalliga West.
Which is not really a big derby, is it?
No, even Fortuna Köln against 1. FC Köln is not a big derby, so there is no rivalry.
I mean, I've been to the same matchup in the Regionalliga West, and it was really a tame affair.
Yeah.
In terms of what was going on. I mean, Fortuna Köln, very friendly fans.
Yeah, yeah, totally. No hazard with anyone. So I really, well, it's not a game where I would expect anything like this to happen. So, well, there was a group of, well, in the media, they say groundhoppers from the Sauerland, which is a little bit northeast of North Rhine-Westphalia, or maybe even a part of it. And a group of 30 to 40 people, all dressed in black. And they entered the stands of the home team, which was not open for public usually. So all the other fans gather on any other stand. I don't know. The stadium is big enough. So there are huge areas which are not open for public. And these bunch of guys got there somehow and also tried to provoke the others verbally. And in the end, a group of Fortuna Köln supporters went there and really politely, with some physical advices as well, showed them they were out of the stadium. And yeah.
Physical guidance at its very, very best.
I really don't get it why, as a groundhopper group, well, first of all, groundhoppers usually don't travel in groups. They travel in cars with maybe 3 or 4 friends, but that's it. And so, yeah, and even if I would never pick a game of Fortuna Köln against Fortuna Düsseldorf 2, because, well, I myself, of course, have been in the Südstadion, so the Fortuna Köln stadium once in a while, and it's not one of my favorite grounds. So I don't understand why they have picked this game, especially against the second team of another club, which is not very interesting usually, also from a supporter's perspective. And then to get there and to start a fuss, I don't get it. I don't know why they did it.
I mean, if you would have been groundhopping in Cologne on that weekend, you would have gone to Victoria Köln. The things get wild.
Is it? I'm not sure how they did play. Oh, no, they played away.
They played away, yes. But I mean, I was just joking, because Victoria Köln is okay. One of the tamest groundhopping experiences I've had, too. Okay. Because I actually saw them against Fortuna Düsseldorf 2 as well.
So you are Fortuna Düsseldorf 2 away supporter. Alles Fahrer.
I'm, yes. you know, I do it all for Tuna Düsseldorf 2 is my secret passion, my guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
I see them wherever I can catch them, and you know, if you can get me to a test match of Fortuna Düsseldorf 2 in Belgium or the Netherlands, I'm in heaven. But I mean, Victoria Köln, really not a great place to watch football. It's again a very polite bunch, but I mean, you see people having scarves of both Victoria Köln and FC Köln around their necks at the same time, which is sort of like a strange sensation. How can you have two favorite clubs from the same city? Doesn't make sense.
No.
I mean, you couldn't go around saying I'm an Altona 93 supporter and a St. Pauli fan.
Mm.
Could you?
No. Okay. Well, yeah, I think you could, but
you could.
I would never do that.
Well, okay, but again, idiot groundhoppers, but groundhopping advice?
Don't go there. Ah, side note. I completed the Danish First League.
Congratulations.
I've been to Vudo, I think. Is it called? Vudo? You write it Vudovre. Vudo, I think it's the Danish pronunciation. So, nevertheless, it's the club of Simon Mackinock.
Well, there you go.
And we saw them 1 week ago against Nordjylland. And now, if you ask me anything about the first Danish league, I am able to answer it. And your Fortuna Düsseldorf 2 team is my Odense. So I saw Odense away 6 or 7 times, and I've only been to their home ground once.
Is currently in 12th.
Yeah. They go down.
They are going down. I mean, they're playing a playoff round.
Yeah.
Don't they? In Denmark?
Yeah.
It's sort of like it's a 12-team league and the top six are playing a playoff to determine the champion and the bottom six determine the...
But the gap is too big.
Yeah, I mean, currently they're 8 points behind Valia and 12 points behind Randers. They're going to be a tough one. Anyways, I mean, Midtjylland, Brøndby, and Copenhagen are really close there at the top of the table. Nordsjælland, not really in the race this year. Enough side notes about Danish football. What's going to be the next country that you're going to complete?
Maybe I go for the second league in Denmark.
The second league of Denmark? So you instead of like completing different countries, you're just going down the division system in Denmark?
Yeah, and if not, then it will be the Netherlands, of course.
The Netherlands? I mean, how much are you missing there?
I think I do have 6 out of 18, so it's a way to go.
I might join you there for a match. Direct flights from Stavanger to Copenhagen do exist.
Amsterdam.
That too. But Amsterdam too. And, you know, when you're in Amsterdam, you can pretty much get anywhere in the Netherlands because it's not a really big country. Lovely side note to end on, Mike. Do tell our listeners where they can find your work and where they can find the Millerton on social media, because you don't do that anymore, do you?
Yeah, I don't. From time to time, I just send a picture to Blue Sky if I finalize the first Danish league, but... apart from that, you better follow the Millerton. You can follow us on nearly every social media tool except TikTok. And we don't do Twitter anymore, but we are still there, but we don't do it actively. So best way to do is follow the Millerton on the blog millerton.de. And exclusively new information for all of you, we do have now a WhatsApp channel.
Ooh.
Full stop.
Ooh. WhatsApp. Great.
Mm-hmm.
You can still follow me on X, Norm Musings. I sometimes do muse about stuff like, why has it taken Wolfsburg so long to fire Niko Kovac? That we will talk about on the next episode of Talking Foosball, by the way, which will arrive at some point during the international break, which is next week. You can follow me on X at Norm Musings. You can follow the podcast on there as well at Talking Foosball. Make sure to give us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. We do like to hear what you think. This episode has been produced by Aiden Rantoul as ever. Next week, we'll be back during the international break talking about what's ahead for Wolfsburg, who's just hired Ralf Hasenhüttl. What are Freiburg going to do now that Christian Streich is gone? All of that and an awful lot more is to come on the next episode of Talking Foosball. Until then, bye for now.